7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
And welcome back to another episode of MNC Da Boy and return of me, Nick Maxson, here as the host. I've been out of commission here for the past little bit, working on some other projects post the college hockey season. Another returning guest here, Christian Babcock here, who was covering Bemidji State for us for most of last season, is joining us again. Christian, how you doing, bud?
Good. It's good to be back. Yeah, it's been a little while since the college hockey season ended, but of course, never stops, but I'm very happy, being the Californian that I am, that the weather has kind of taken a turn in the right direction here in Minnesota. So very appreciative of that, for sure.
It's about time, too, because it definitely was taking way too long for it to get there. Really good Memorial Day, at least here down in the Twin Cities. How was it up in Bemidji?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Good weather yesterday. I don't know what happened today. We had a 30-minute just complete downpour, and that just kind of stopped, and now it's kind of nice again. So, you know what? I'll take it.
So let's talk a little bit about, shall we say, college hockey, because as just kind of like New York City, right, it never sleeps anymore. So with Bemidji State, a couple of off-season things have happened. One, Mike Gibbons, who retired from St. Cloud to go back to his alma mater, now retired again, which leaves an assistant coach spot opening up. Before we get into maybe some developments on that, your reaction to his retirement, was that sort of seen coming, or was this still a little surprising from the Bemidji State aspect?
I don't think it was the most, like, I don't think I could have put a date on it necessarily, but I think whenever he came in, you know, 2020-21, replacing Eddie Olczyk Jr., he had already retired once, as you said. So I think this was more of just Tom Ceritori needed an assistant to finish out that season. And then he stayed on for a couple more years. Things are pretty stable now. Travis Winter was just named associate head coach, so he's kind of developed into that lead assistant coach in waiting for Tom Ceritori. So I think Mike Gibbons probably just thought this was a good time to step away, like we talked about, and we'll get into this more, but pretty stable time for the program. Not a lot of players going in and out. In fact, no players going in and out so far this offseason. So kind of a good stable time. And also with the addition of the third assistant, there's going to be some turnover anyway. So I think this was just kind of a relatively stable time for Bemidji State to fill that assistant position.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, when people retire, then unretire. And again, for those who cover sports, right, when you're part of the team, and for Mike Gibbons, again, coaching career down here in the Twin Cities with Eastview High School initially, then with St. Cloud a number of years, again with Bob Motzko primarily, then a few seasons with Brett Larson before he retires the first time, before then the last couple of seasons again with Bemidji. Sometimes it's just hard to walk away, right? There's just so much to the structure and being around the rink and the players. And, you know, sometimes your body and maybe even your brain is saying, yeah, man, this has been a good run, but maybe it's time to relax a little bit more. Sometimes it's just, again, with sports, and we see this at many levels, that sometimes it's hard to walk away. And for Gibbons, I wonder how difficult it really was to finally decide, you know what, maybe this is for real this time.
Sure. And I think part of it, we kind of touched on this, but I think he probably intended to stay retired the first time. And then this just kind of came up where he's known Tom forever. Tom needed an assistant, kind of a weird time in the middle of the season. And they ended up, you know, having a great end to that season. But yeah, I'm sure it was a struggle for him. And, you know, who knows, we could have to, I don't know if I should say this, I don't want to insinuate anything bad here, but kind of a Brett Favre situation where, you know, for some athletes, some coaches, it's just hard to stay retired. It's all they've known for most of their life. You know, I remember a conversation I had with Tom before last season talking about how, you know, he feels like he's in his 40s. He just wants to keep going and going. And then when he hit a big milestone win in the middle of the season, we talked about whether or not he looks back. And he said he doesn't really. He just kind of keeps going forward. And he thought a lot of coaches kind of don't look back. They just keep plowing forward. And with the hockey calendar the way it is now, not that it's always it's always been busy, but nowadays I think there's not a ton of time for introspection that's just inherent in the calendar. It's very much fast paced 24/7. And I think, like you said, it can wear you down. It can be addictive, but you know, at some point coaches are going to step away. And I think this is a good time for Mike Gibbons to leave Bemidji State, relatively speaking.
So let's talk about, you mentioned some names before, but again, the new entries, right? And, you know, and then we're going to talk about stability too, but let's talk about that new name that has officially been announced. And then you said earlier, at least in private conversations, that they're inching closer to another head another coach that's being named. So let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah, so nothing has been announced so far by Bemidji State. There's been some names. They're still in the process. It's interesting. The third assistant adds a different wrinkle because you're maybe looking to fill two spots. And talking to Tom, it's not entirely certain whether they're going to have, you know, a full-time third assistant paid as a standard coach. So they're kind of still working it out. But I've heard some USHL names. So we'll kind of see what happens. It's going to be a matter of the next few months. Obviously, that third assistant won't be able to officially start until July 1st. But Dylan Schoen, who's been the volunteer assistant, may be getting elevated into a paid role. It's just going to be a matter of where they decide to go. So nothing's finalized, but there are some things percolating, and probably by the end of this week or so, we'll have a little more clarity what the situation will be.
Either way, Tom Ceratori, again, will be at the helm for Bemidji State. It's been, you know, talk about guys who have been stable than anything. I mean, probably I think the longest tenured head coach in college hockey after, I think, is it David York out there in Boston University or Boston College? But either way, let's talk about stability, Christian, because I see two sides of this, right? When you have Bemidji and you have a stability, you know, a stable program, you know, it's not like it's a bad thing, but at the end of it, what has that brought Bemidji in terms of success?
I think it just simplifies the process of when you do bring on new people, whether it's new players, new coaches. And there hasn't been a ton of assistant turnover either. I mean, I mentioned Travis Winter. He was a player in the late 2000s, came on as a coach in the mid-2010s, and he's been with BSU for a long time now, recently elevated to associate head coach. So there's kind of, and you could even bring Mike Gibbons into this conversation. There's a pretty, insular is not really a good word, but maybe interconnected sort of, you know, they'd refer to it as the Beaver hockey family. People who know what the program was built on, a lot of people who have coached or played under the legendary coach Bob Peters, who basically got Bemidji State hockey to where it is today. So I think there's a pretty intrinsic understanding of what it means to play Bemidji State hockey. And we always talk about, you know, the gritty style, defense first, just grind it out. And that's what it's going to have to be with some of the recruiting challenges they have being isolated up here. You know, I mean, not to get hyperbolic, but this is the Northwoods. We're out in the middle of nowhere. It's really cold, even colder than the cities. So you've got to love to play hockey. You've got to love to play defense. And those are the kind of players they recruit to. And I think, you know, that culture and kind of the continuation through the generations. Again, that story I did on Tom. He was talking about, you know, he came back because Bob Peters asked him, you know, we're going to go D1. I want you alongside me when we bring this program to the big time. And then when it was time for Bob Peters to step away, Tom was there. And I would not be surprised at all if when Tom eventually decides he's going to step away, I think Travis Winter will be very high on that list for the next Bemidji State head coach. So it's very interconnected. There's not a ton of turnover generally, especially compared to some other programs, whether it's players or coaches. I think that's exactly the way Tom Ceratori wants it to be, pretty much.
And let me counter with this, only because Bemidji State is, shall I say, I get the recruiting challenges, right, Christian? And it's no question that, you know, to attract some of the other names, it's tough. But you finished 37 in the pairwise. You finished with a record of, I believe, 15-19-2. Check that, 14-17-5. At one point, closer to the holiday break, Bemidji State was in a contention for number one in the CCHA, right? But as far as the pairwise was concerned, they were still out of the top 16, right? And when we look at, if we want to call it the bigger programs, like St. Cloud, North Dakota, Minnesota, and maybe it's not fair I put them all on the same page, but when you talk about stability, sometimes instability or players coming in and out can be a good thing, right? And so my question is, does stability work? And especially nowadays in college hockey, where with the transfer portal rules, with the players having a little bit more control of where they stay or where they play, should this organization be more welcoming of maybe a shot in the arm in the offseason here and there? Or, you know, are they really stuck to, I like who I have or recruited, and we're just going to stand pat?
I think stability still works, but it's harder now. I mean, Thomas said to me he does not enjoy how the transfer portal has kind of, it makes things harder. Everything, it takes more time. You have to be a lot more diligent about how your players are feeling. You know, the group dynamic, it's interesting because for a lot of NCAA sports for a long time, you could transfer without penalty. And those are the sports that kind of flew under the radar. And when the transfer portal came in, I read a couple articles by some great writers about what is it like for these other coaches that have to basically constantly re-recruit their roster. And I think we're seeing a lot of that now in college hockey. I mean, the numbers are going up every year. It's not clear where they're going to stabilize. And I think part of it depends on the year. I think the way I read this offseason is Tom Seratore and his staff are very confident in what they've got in-house. Like last year, and he admitted, they brought in multiple transfers because they needed that scoring, that shot in the arm. Now, you could ask the question, should they do that every year? And that's an open question. I'm not sure which way I fall on that just because it's a younger group. And I think what they're trying to do is develop the next nucleus of the next great Bemidji State team. You mentioned they had a great first half and then kind of fell off. But it's been 2 years where if you kind of take out the run to the Mason Cup championship 2 years ago, which is a part of the conversation. But if you take that out, it's been a bit of a struggle. So I think they're always going to keep an eye on the transfer portal. But the things that this program does well are mostly related to stability. And I think if you're sort of looking for a foundation or an anchor of a program, that's what they want to be the base, you know, the DNA. Everyone says culture, but just sort of, I would say more the DNA of the program. What, you know, when you cut open Bemidji State hockey, when you look at what makes it up, you don't want to lose the defensive edge because to an extent, if you lose that, I'm not sure what's left. Like, this is not a program, I think, that can really afford to have a lot of people transferring out, especially. It's so important for them to maintain the culture. And then if you can add the transfers, I think that's going to be over the next 2 or 3 years. We're really going to see what Bemidji State hockey looks like as far as accepting transfers, because I think moving forward, it's just going to be a reality for teams where they're probably going to add at least a few transfers every year and they're probably going to lose a few kids. But that's just the reality of it. And we'll see how they adapt from year to year.
So let's look at it from a different lens, Christian. And I think it's appropriate to look at it from the CCHA lens, because you mentioned the run to the Mason Cup, right? Because at the end of the day, Bemidji in the grander scheme, right, has sort of relied on being a conference contender because as an at-large school, they still kind of trail in that regards, right? When you look at ahead to this year, now, mind you, part of this conversation comes from, let's put it lightly, the dismantling of Mankato, right? And with Mike Hastings, essentially all of his staff, a lot of their top recruits going with them to a Power 5 conference in the Big Ten in Wisconsin, right? Those things happen and it's tough, but does Bemidji see an opportunity here where they had a grasp again through the first half of the season? And you're looking at this where, okay, maybe if we have the same returning group, they learn some things. And now with maybe some players that maybe had a grasp on the conference, maybe projected to not have that same wholesale grip on it, maybe we didn't have to go. Is that sort of what we're insinuating here?
I think there is an opening now that wasn't there before in some sense, just because MSU had been so dominant over the past, I mean, most of the decade, but they had been the power in the conference. And now it's open. I mean, I think they'll be good again, but no one really knows how good. And I think it will be very hard for them to reach. I mean, look, we can look at MSU, and that's a program that has a pretty good fan base, pretty good recruiting location. But, you know, that's a small school in a relatively small conference for college hockey. And what Mike Hastings did making a national final at that school is incredible. So it's going to be very hard to replicate that. And I think other CCHA teams know that this is an opening for them. Because, again, even if they get back to that level, there's probably going to be some transition in that first year. So this is an opening for them for sure. And it's also an opening, to be quite frank, for the St. Thomases of the world. And Augustana is not going to be eligible yet for the conference championship this year, only playing a transitional schedule. But once they get up and running, they're going to have an excellent chance at being the new top dog, if you want to call it that, in the CCHA, or the top Viking, I guess we could say. But no, the addition of those two to the league has changed the dynamic. And with MSU losing Hastings, it's going to be wide open for the next year or two. And then I think we'll really get a sense of what the new pecking order is. And there is an opening for Bemidji State. I don't think they have the resources necessarily to be the top team every year. They're going to have to try to find that group, you know, the Sillinger, Iarullo, Ethan Somoza group that just comes together, grows, and then explodes for an Elite Eight. I think that's their window. But maybe there's an opening for them to be kind of a top two or three team more perennially. I think that's the opportunity that they're looking at with the changes at MSU.
Now, this is, I can't believe I'm asking this question, because you perfectly segued me into this. But you mentioned Augustana. We mentioned St. Thomas, right, which showed massive improvements, especially second half of this last year, right? And again, we can talk about resources and whatnot, but that team is going to be a contender pretty shortly, right? Bemidji State is, let's put it frankly, right? They've been a defensive first style school, and they've been successful at that. But now they're in this conference, and you've got some, shall we say, new blood and new teams coming in that are, say, maybe often more offensive minded. Is there an argument to be made that Bemidji State at some point has to change its identity, not because it has done it so well in the past and has maybe, you know, in stretches, a couple of years here and there have been and have gone to the NCAA tournament. But if you want to be more of a perennial contender, if you want to be, shall I say, part of that new age offensive minded, does that have to change at some point? Or do you feel like this is their identity, and until Tom Ceratori either retires or walks away or whatever, that's going to be Bemidji State hockey no matter what?
I think we kind of touched on this, but I think the core philosophy has to revolve around that. Now, obviously, the game is always going to change. So I think there does need to be natural evolution. It doesn't have to be throw the whole scheme out, but every year the game changes. And you mentioned kind of the stratification with the new, you know, the new contract that the Big Ten signed for football. I mean, that's just going to offer those schools so many opportunities in any which way you could think of, just the amount of funds that they're going to have on hand. And no school in the CCHA, I don't think even, you know, St. Thomas, with all the money and the donors they have, they're not going to be able to compete with that head to head. So for a school like Bemidji State, they're going to have to evolve. And I think this is not going to be a city where, like, name, image, and likeness, for example, those things are not going to come into play. So you're going to need gritty players who want to play defense. But I think, and we kind of talked about it last year, if you can get a team that's a little more of a high shots team, and we saw it, you know, last year with Leighton Road, you're going to need to hit on some of these freshmen and sophomores and hope they carry over. And maybe when you have a really talented team, you can open things up. But I think they need to be careful not to do it too much, because if they lose their defensive identity, again, I think you need, as a differentiator, you need that in the landscape, because you're going to need something to be consistent if you want to survive in this world. I mean, it's almost silly in some ways to think about the revenue disparity between, you know, let's take a Bemidji State and an Ohio State, you know, just the size of the athletic department, the amount of money that these schools are going to be able to generate. So you're going to have to do things differently, but I think whatever's exceptional, you can't lose that. That's, you have to keep that around, or you're just going to get lost in the sauce, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and I guess why am I pushing this so hard? Maybe is, you know, what some listeners or maybe even you, Christian, are asking. You know, Nick, well, why do you care so much about, you know, Bemidji State and how they play the game? And that is a couple of things, right? If they're going to be a defensive first team, nothing wrong with that. But let's remember, they gave up 2.7 goals per game. You're only scoring 2.6. You're already losing that battle there, right? And just the evolution of hockey really in the past decade, and I would argue have started even before then, has been to transition more into the offensive first mentality. It's not the Jacques Lemaire, New Jersey Devils of the early 2000s hockey anymore, right? You're not going to see those neutral zone traps be as effective anymore, because not only that, speed and skill can break through these a little bit, right? You even mentioned at parts during last season that the Bemidji State maybe necessarily wasn't changing their identity per se, but they definitely were emphasizing more shots through the goaltender. And, you know, so in part, Bemidji, I think, understands that there has to be something that's different here. Because I think in terms of defense, you can bend, but you know, there's a little room if you break, right? And so to me, the counter to that is, and I did a film study with Brett Larson with St. Cloud, is on the 1-2-2 forecheck, right? Where Bemidji State does a really good job of kind of being physical and kind of, you know, kind of grinding you down that way. But the issue stops when there's no puck possession. You're not generating your own offense. You're just almost limiting the opposition, at least in hopes of a transition game. Am I completely out of whack here? Am I onto something? Or, you know, I guess for what we've discussed in the past, how sustainable is a defensive first strategy is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, and, you know, bringing up that forecheck, I think it's a bit emblematic of, like, you know, that's that gritty Bemidji State hockey mentality. And that's something that I think they would be pretty resistant to change. But one thing I think would fix a lot of things, and we kind of talked about, a lot of it is personnel. And there are some promising returns on that front. You know, they had some freshmen stepping up. Now, you could sort of trace from the tournament team, and then you look at the next year, they had a lot of those guys back, but they didn't have everyone. And you could kind of see that. And then this year, they were very young in, you know, the forward core. And they had defensemen in Elias Rosen and Will Zmolek, who played basically half the game a lot of the time. So that was kind of their strength. And now that's gone. They got Kyle Loft back, which is enormous for them. But it's going to be personnel. And you bring in a guy like Eric Polkamp, that's going to be very exciting, because that's a caliber of recruit that Bemidji State does not get often. So I think he's going to be a big piece of what their future is. And I think this is going to be a developing team. I think as a young team, the young forward core, and, you know, once Kyle Luff's gone, so it's going to be next year now instead of this year, they're going to be young at defense too. So they're going to need to grow together. And that's where you dip into the portal. And I think if they can get their personnel kind of back to where it was a few years ago, they're going to have more of a chance to open up the offense and do some of those things that you were talking about.
So let's do this, just because we're in the games of predictions here on the MNCAA podcast, and rightfully so, or maybe rightfully not. I've not yet decided. But Christian, we talked earlier a little bit about the CCH, and it's kind of an open window right now. And this is a good thing if you're Bemidji. But realistically speaking, with what you know of the team, what you saw with the players that are returning, the hopes of maybe some of the new players coming in. Again, we talk about the coaching staff largely returning some new blood in there. Could Bemidji State, which had a great position at least through halfway of last season, can they replicate at least the start? And more so, can they maybe fix the finish? Because if they had finished better, we're maybe having a different conversation here.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be probably another growing year for them, like it was last year. It seems hard. Like you mentioned, they had a negative goal differential. It seems hard to think that team that can't, you know, even win on goal differential at, you know, when you look at the whole season, that's probably not a team that's going to contend for a conference championship. So I think they had a great start. They were probably playing above their skates a bit and they fell off a bit. I think, honestly, like I said, I think it's pretty much that simple. It's going to be another year for growth and development. And with things being more open, I think there's a chance for them to be a top four team. But certain things are going to have to break their way, and there's no guarantee that those things are going to happen. But I do think it is a little bit reassuring. You know, there are always fans and other people looking at the program like, you know, you need to be more active in the transfer portal. You need to open up the offense, various things. Program is getting stagnant. And those things have some merit to them in various facets. But I think the fact that they did not lose anyone, which that in and of itself is almost a miracle. I mean, there's only two other teams, I think, who haven't lost anyone. So that shows that the culture and the belief is strong to me. I don't think it's just these guys don't have any other options. And I think that the coaching staff felt confident enough in that group that was staying that they didn't feel they needed to augment that at all. I think that should give fans a little bit of confidence, and we'll just kind of see how much this group can grow and how much those younger players can step up. Because after the few fifth years and seniors who were on those title teams are gone, it's going to be their show.
And it will be, right? And they're going to have to make it their own, right? Because if they don't, eligibility goes down, right? And one final thought here, Christian, because we've talked about the transfer portal a little bit. Mind you, the transfer portal dynamic is going to change a little bit because, remember, we're coming into the senior season for athletes who were granted that extra eligibility for COVID, right? So after essentially this next upcoming off season, I don't have a crystal ball. I will never pretend that I have one. I wish I did, because maybe I wouldn't be in this role, but you
know, that would be useful. Yeah.
Right. It would be, not just in hockey, but a lot of different things. But is that going to change Bemidji's futures too? And again, we don't know for sure, but you kind of wonder with some of that freedom of movement, right? That's been out there for the athletes to an extent. That will most likely calm down a little bit. Does that in turn hurt, or does it help Bemidji State once we get past that point? What do you think?
You know, I was just thinking, Tom said something after the season was over that kind of struck me, because we were talking about who might come back for a fifth year. And it sounded like at that point, you know, I mentioned Kyle Loft and Carter Jones. I think Tom probably thought he was not going to have many, if any, fifth years. So the fact that they brought two back, I think that's a plus for next year's Bemidji State team. But I think relative to the rest of college hockey, I think Tom, you know, whether it's because it's the traditional way of doing things or just because it's how he likes to do them, he enjoys kind of that you get him for 4 years and then you rotate through. I think he might prefer getting back to that, because not saying that other programs bringing in fifth years has been the demise of Bemidji State. I don't think that's the problem or the reason, I guess you could say, why they've had a couple years where they've had mixed results. But I think he kind of likes the four-year plan, and that's what he's more comfortable with. And I think compared to what some other schools have done, Bemidji State might prefer that pathway as opposed to having the fifth years and kind of just an overloaded base of players for all these schools to pick from every year and every off season too.
It's almost like watching, it's the joy of watching that seed grow, right? Because again, when players come in, they're recruited years sometimes before. So conversations, first impressions start with these kids much earlier, right? And then when you finally get them in, there's a joy, I think, in a coach and a program where you can see them assimilate, become that player that you envision them to be. And maybe that's traditionalist, Christian, I'm not sure, but it does seem, at least I think on the surface level, I think it's okay to say that when you look at teams like Michigan, Minnesota, heck, even you can maybe even throw St. Cloud in there, that it kind of feels not like the what we would think of as the traditional college athlete experience anymore. It sort of feels like a pro style, right? Where players almost tout themselves as free agents. Like when you talk about the NLIs, you know, where, no, sorry, the NILs, I get my letters mixed back and forth here and there, but you know, it's the money and, you know, the attractiveness there. And maybe for Bemidji, that just have always been about, like you said, the culture and the strength of the belief in the system. And maybe that's partly why we don't see those changes like Bemidji. So, does it come to that where it's, you know, you see the growth and maybe there's a sense of pride in, you know, meeting a 15 or 16 year old for the first time, getting them to sign their NILLI, excuse me. And then finally, it's been a long day. We'll put it that way. It's yeah, just bear with me here. But then you see them grow two, three, 4 years down the road and become maybe even better than you thought, right? Is that sort of the impression you get from the Bemidji staff as how they like to run their program?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the pro league, because you think about, like, if the NHL had this situation, you just add, like, I don't even know how you would do it, but, like, you just have another year of kids. Like, you lower the entry deadline by a year, so you just have this explosion of eligible players that's way above what you would normally have. So that's thrown the sport out of whack, and I think, and, you know, you can make the argument, too, that if schools are going to lose kids more, that maybe the fifth years were kind of a stabilizing element from it just completely going off the rails. But I think for what's worked for this program, the fifth years they kind of kept around were just guys who they trusted, and they wanted to use that while they had it, more or less. You know, if these guys couldn't find a good pro opportunity that they thought was sufficient to their skill set, then they could come back, develop another year. They were trusted within the program. But I think that four-year structure, and like you said, sort of the more traditional college, because at a school like this, that's a lot of times what the coaches will be selling, is more of a traditional college experience. You know, you're not going to play in a gigantic arena. It's a very nice arena, the Sanford Center, but it's not Marucci. You're not going to, it's a different experience. You're not going to live in a huge city. So you're coming to live in a college town, a small town, and you're coming to play hockey, and often a gritty style of hockey. And sometimes it's going to get 30 or 40 below zero, and you have to accept that. So I think they've kind of all along been looking for a little more of a kid who's looking for a traditional collegiate experience. And I think if they can remain in that wheelhouse, that's going to lead to success for them.
We'll have to see how it goes, right? Bemidji State, again, coming off of a season where some ups and some downs, right? But again, as Christian says, a lot of returning pieces, and you know, there's, with that, with consistency, there usually is better growth in that way. Maybe some new coaching blood. Maybe they change a couple of things. We'll see. But overall, Bemidji State in a good position to, again, remake some noise, especially here in the CCHA, which, again, as we talk, wide open. So that will do it for this week's episode here at MNCAA. Again, for Christian Babcock, I'm Nick Max, and look forward to checking in with some of the teams throughout this summer. Again, the transfer portal still open technically. I think the deadline is August 1, if I recall, for athletes to either go back to their original or to essentially, you know, call it quits. But either way, we'll be here to cover it for you all. And so with that note, we will see you folks here back next week. Thanks a lot, everybody.